Good morning again, everyone.
Good morning.
Glad to see you all here this morning and online as well. I think there was a comment down front here earlier that last week I kind of bragged about how full the family section was, and now this week I've ran them all off. They're all over their quarantine. Hopefully they're listening online. I should have came up with some kind of code that I could ask them when I get over there if they're watching, like Green 13. Let's see if they can repeat that to me when I get back over there in a little bit. But I'm glad to see all of you here this morning. We're continuing in Acts. We're in Acts chapter 9, and we all know what happens in Acts chapter 9. We're going to meet this man named Saul.
Amen.
Have you ever been shocked by the truth? Some truth you learned, maybe it was personal in your life, maybe it was some broad truth. Maybe it was the gospel for the first time. Maybe that shocked you. We're going to see that this morning. Some truth in your life that you learned and you're like, man, that's kind of unbelievable, but it was true. We've probably had a lot of that stuff the last couple of years with the pandemic and all this other stuff going on. But I've got a few for you this morning. Let's see if any of these are shocking. Bats are not really blind. Is that shocking? Did we know that? They kind of see in black and white. They see better at night. We've always heard they were blind because they use the sonar, but they actually are not blind. Michael Jordan was cut from his high school basketball team. Is that shocking? Didn't make the high school team. We might have known that. Lots of Jordan documentaries out there nowadays, but it feels shocking. Anybody wild yet? No? J.K. Rowling in her first Harry Potter book was rejected by 12 publishers. 12 publishers said no to Harry Potter. You think they're changing their mind now? And the last one, Antarctica is classified as a desert. Antarctica is a desert. Do we think about that? That was a little shocking to me. They classify deserts by a lack of moisture falling. There's no moisture falling in Antarctica. Too dry, too cold. It's a desert. You may have many truths in your own life that shocked you from time to time. Something you learned you didn't want to know. Something you thought you knew, but it turned out different. Whatever it was, it shocked you. Today, we're going to see a man run into the only truth that matters. And we're going to see its effects on his life. Actually, on all of our lives, really.
Amen.
We're going to see this. We're going to see ourselves on these pages today in three parts. Jesus calls Saul. Jesus calls Ananias. And old Saul no more. Acts chapter 9. We're going to cover the first 19 verses today. Let's stand as we read God's word together. 1 through 19. First one. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him, and falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen a vision of a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him so he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized. And taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this holy word. We thank you for this time together. And we just ask that you just press your word into our hearts, our minds, our very being. Press it into our life as we leave here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. That was quite a bit. I'm not going to cover all that. You can take a sigh of relief. But we kind of remember where we were last week. Philip, an Ethiopian eunuch, and all that happened there. Now this week we turn our attention to this man named Saul. Let's set it up a bit here. First, you have your maps on your bulletins today. I'm sure it's small. Maybe you can't read the words on there. You don't really need to. It's just to give you a grasp of what's going on here. The upper left says Rome. You can find the boot of Italy. That's how you probably learned it in school. It was a boot. Upper left says Rome, lower right says Jerusalem, and you've got a bunch of words in between there. You've got a box around Damascus, that's where we are today, if you want to find the middle right of your map. So you've got Jerusalem lower right, Rome upper left, and everywhere in between you've got a name written down. That's a place reached by Paul. That's a church planted by Paul. That's a place where the gospel was brought to by Paul. Everywhere in between there. Jerusalem to Damascus is 135 miles. Think about that trip on foot. Jerusalem to Rome, 1,430 miles if you're going to fly there, straight line. It's 2,500 miles if you're going to take the path like you would drive a car. That's quite a distance that Paul covered for the gospel. And we're going to see his transformation today. So let's set up a bit. Who is Saul? We know him. He goes from Saul to Paul. He's this man from Tarsus, which makes him a Roman. And he grew up in Jerusalem under the teaching of Gamaliel. We've looked at that before, which makes him Jewish. So he is a Jewish Roman citizen, and he loves God. Don't forget that. He loves God. It doesn't look like that on our pages. Few have loved God as much as Saul did. How do we know? Because he's killing for him. That's what's driving him. You will not come against my God. He was at Stephen's stoning. Our pages today said he breathes threats and murder against the disciples. The high priest has now cleared the way to arrest anyone he chooses. Anyone who claims Jesus to be the Messiah, to be God's son. We wouldn't call it love what he's doing, but it is his expression of devotion to God, to the Lord God of Israel. It's his expression. It's just the wrong one. How's it wrong? Well, Jesus is the Lord God of Israel. God in three persons. Jesus is one of the persons. He's God in the flesh. Here's the problem we'll see in this text and in our lives. We judge Saul by what we believe. We judge those in our lives who act differently and walk differently by our faith. What's wrong with that? We are not the judge. We're not. That's one thing wrong with it. Everyone's going to stand before the judge and has to be found righteous and can only be found righteous through faith in the Son. Everyone will do this, but we're not the judge they'll stand in front of. Secondly, and more importantly, if we are judging without an attempt at teaching, we're judging without being in their lives, without sharing, without meeting needs. If we're doing this, then we're actually judging ourselves. Jesus never said he would save all people. He never said all hearts will change, but what he did said is the ones he changes will follow him, will speak of him, will reach into the world to love others and to tell others the gospel. Saul was born a Roman, but believes in the God of Israel. How did that happen? Someone taught him. Someone reached out to him. All sinners on the same path as Saul until the gospel in your life. How does Saul get the gospel? Well, we're going to see that. We're going to see Jesus himself reaches out into Saul in our text this morning. Jesus calls Saul. Saul's headed out on a mission to change the world, and now he has the authority to do so. He got it from the high priest. Damascus is his destination. He will get there, but not the way he thinks. He thinks with authority and with prestige and with prisoners. Look at our text. Stopped in his tracks by the God he thinks he serves. A light from heaven shone around him. Not the first time we've read this in our Bibles, right? Moses coming down from that mountain. The angels with the shepherds in the field at Jesus' birth. Jesus and his transfiguration up on a mountain. What does this phrase mean is that you are in the presence of God. That's what it's saying here. Saul now gets his chance, but not the way he wants. The presence he's in front of is Jesus. And this presence forces him to the ground, removes the sight from his eyes, and brings others around him to silence. What an interesting phrasing here in our text. It says, although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. This is Saul's physical eyes, and this is Saul's spiritual eyes. Eyes open to Jesus for the very first time, though he is now blind. What I tell you is this, we're all going to be in this presence one day. Amen. Every one of us. And every one of us will hit our knees, just like our passage today. The default reaction when creation is in front of its creator is this. Jesus also speaks to him. The question's interesting. Why are you persecuting me? It's interesting because Jesus is already crucified, raised from the grave, and ascended to heaven. Jesus is physically gone. So what does he mean here? He means us. He means the church. He means anyone who's ever said Jesus is my Lord and has had their life changed by him. When something is done to you, it is done to Jesus. Remember, Scripture says, when you turn the poor away, you turn away Jesus. In the same sense here, he says, any actions against a believer is an action against me. Hold that in your minds. Now, this revelation leaves Saul here speechless and without sight for 3 days. It leaves him without hunger or thirst. Why? He's now realized who Jesus is. His Lord. And he has realized what his actions have done to his Lord. Is this my Lord? Oh God, what have I done? That's what we should see here. Can you feel that? The weight of that moment upon Saul. I hope you can feel that. Here's what happened at our house this week. We had a shredded vest, a puffy vest that you would wear, one of my daughters, shredded vest, shredded plastic cup, a couple of shredded oven mittens. Why? Partly because I left two rambunctious dogs in the kitchen for too long. We got a baby gate, they stay in the kitchen. They do well up to a point, but they also need attention. You can't just leave them. Also because, you know, things didn't get put away like they're supposed to, but, you know, that's a different story. I wish I had a camera over there. We could see what they do during the day. That would be interesting to see what they're doing, but we don't have a camera. So this is what I imagine. You guys get my imagination this morning. There was a vest. in or on or around a kitchen chair. Do you know kitchen chairs have no weight limit? You can just keep piling stuff in them and on them. They'll never break, or at least in our house. So there's a vest in or around a kitchen chair, and the dogs are playing around, knock it to the floor. I assume it was Copper's tail because it knocks everything to the floor. So the vest is on the floor. Now a choice is to be made. They look at each other, and they look at that vest. They look at each other, and then they look at that vest. Maybe they circle it like sharks, you know, trying to investigate it. One of them picks it up. The other one tries to take it, and the game is on. I come home into the kitchen, post-vest frenzy, and I see the mess, the cotton, the shreds, whatever. What do you think the dogs do? Heads down, body down, cower into the corners of the room. That's what they do. They knew it was wrong. It felt right in the moment. It was the best thing for them in the moment. I'm sure it was loads of fun. But when their master came home, the feeling was, my Lord, what have I done? This is Saul's feeling here. Think about all the things we've read about what Saul's doing to these people. Jesus reveals himself to Saul. Can you imagine the glory in that moment? And his response is part question, part answer. Who are you, Lord? What we should see is this my Lord? What have I done? It's also our feeling, or it should be. You're already a Christian. You have God's Spirit. How many times this week have you treated Jesus poorly? What do I mean? Well, in Scripture it says, when you care for the least of these, you're caring for Jesus, which means sometimes you're also turning him away. Amen. Also in our text today, it revealed to us that other Christians, treating other Christians poorly, means you treat Jesus poorly, right? Amen. If you can persecute him by persecuting a Christian, then you can also yell at him, you can ignore him, you can be mean to him, use harsh words against him, think harsh thoughts about him. How many of us does this describe just this week? Too many. The point is, we were all Saul before meeting Jesus. And we all continue to be Saul from time to time in our lives. We just do. We're sinners. We must fight in these moments to lean into God through prayer and His Word. Lean into your friends and your church in these moments so that people see Jesus in these moments and not just another Saul. The world has enough Saul and not nearly enough Jesus. Amen. Who do people see most in your life? Who would you be considered closer to? Now, sometimes we're called to repent, oftentimes, many times. Sometimes we're also called to go. And we're going to see Ananias' call now. Jesus calls Ananias. This isn't a call to believe in our text, as Ananias is already a believer. We even see this in the way the approach is here, the call versus Saul earlier. We see, who are you? That's Saul's response. And Ananias says, here I am, Lord. Big difference. What does Jesus tell him here? It says, rise and go to the man of Tarsus called Saul. Can you imagine what goes through the mind of Ananias right now? We have what he said. Lord, you can't mean this evil man who has the backing of the high priest. You can't mean that guy. We also know that's not what he truly thinks. What words would come out of your mouth in that moment? What would you be thinking? He's just a man, just like us. He's drove the people you know from homes and has arrested them and killed many of them you know and love. And you're possibly on the run yourself from him. And now you must go to him. We would probably act more like Saul, less like Jesus in that moment. There are two reasons given here to Ananias as to why he must go. Really, three reasons. The first is the fact that Jesus said so. This should be the only reason we ever need. God in the flesh on the cross for us, and anything asked of us should be done. More often than not, this is not the case. Just read your Bible and what you're called to do and what you actually do. Do they match? The next reason in our text is Saul has been chosen by God to carry the name of Jesus to the Gentiles and to the kings and to the children of Israel. In its context, that statement means everyone. That's what that means. Saul will go, and he will be God's instrument for the world. We will see him stand before Gentiles and Jews and kings in Acts. I can imagine what Ananias thinks about that. He probably has an entire list of people he would choose before Saul. We would, right? Take that guy. Take that woman. Take me, Jesus. Why Saul? Well, if you read your Bibles at all, then you know that is not how God works. The best for the job from the perspective of God and not our own. That's why Abraham, that's why Moses, that's why David, that's why the line of Jesus comes from Rahab. It's why Jesus has tax collectors and fishermen as the closest men to him on this earth. It's not what we would have done, but remember, we have tunnel vision on our lives, and he sees all. And Saul turned Paul into paving the way for the gospel to us all. Amen. Saul turned Paul delivers half of our New Testaments. This means Paul, Saul here, was chosen for a specific purpose in his life, despite what his life has looked at like thus far. It also means that God chose you not because of your life lived up to this point, but for the purpose he has for you. Stop seeing your mistakes. Stop seeing your mistakes and see who you were chosen to be. There's another reason in our text for his choosing. It says, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. What does that mean? We don't like it. It's got this word suffer in there. That means we don't like it. How much I must suffer. It partly speaks to where Saul is coming from. He's caused the suffering of many, right? Who carry the name of Jesus, and Jesus here says that he doesn't know what suffering is yet. Saul knows what he has caused, but he does not know what he will go through. We know, we've read it. That's what it means to Saul, but what does it mean for us? We must suffer. What could it mean? Well, all across the Bible it says this, and what he means is that if you truly believe, if you have truly been repentant and full of the Spirit and ripped from your old lies by being rescued by the Son of God, if this describes you, then you will suffer. How? Well, the world will turn its back on you. It will mock you, call you behind in the times and out of touch and ignorant for what you believe. Some will even be called to die for what they believe. It happens every day. Jesus says his people will endure this, will suffer for his name, or his people will turn back and find out that they were not his people. They go out from us because they were not one of us. His people in name only, faith in claim only. In reality, we find ourselves in the parable of the sower, right? We all know that parable, all the different types of soil, the seeds are planted. Only the good soil grows. Everything else dies, withers away, doesn't grow at all. And our roots are in Jesus, the good soil. Amen. Or they are in the world. That's the only two options. Jesus or the world, the suffering of this world, the persecution by this world, will reveal who we are. As we live our lives, do we find ourselves to be of Jesus or of the world? Which soil do we find ourselves to be planted in? With Jesus is the only way to salvation. That's it. Who are you with? Who are you with? Saul's now standing with Jesus, and we're going to look and see what happens to him. Old Saul, no more. Ananias has reservations, rightly so. We all would, but he goes to Saul. What happens? Well, Saul finds himself to be a brother. He's healed both physically and spiritually, and he is baptized and hangs out with the disciples. That's quite a turn. First, Ananias calls him brother. This feels simple. It feels like a polite greeting. I say it all the time, Brother Carl. But Saul was not the brother of Ananias before this moment. Ananias was not going to see Saul walking down the road and say, "Hey, brother, how's it going?" That's not happening until now. Saul was not welcomed as a family before this moment. Saul, in silence and in hunger and cannot see where he is, if the roles were reversed, if Ananias was in this predicament and he knew Saul was coming to him, he would be thinking death. Instead, Saul hears the word brother. Then by the laying on of hands, and through the name of Jesus, he regains his sight and is filled with the Holy Spirit. The word for scales here is a general Greek term. It's really for any rough outer covering. It's used an awful lot to explain the shells of nuts. So that kind of rough outer shell. This simply means that he was healed from something actually covering his eyes. What a moment this would be. Vision for the first time in 3 days physically, right? But the ability to see spiritually for the first time ever. Think about who Saul is, what he's been doing, the God he thinks he follows. And now, Spirit-filled. Jesus really is God. Jesus really is the Messiah. The Holy Spirit of God is really dwelling in His people. What a shock that would be. Amen. The people Saul has been arresting and murdering really are the only true followers of God. What a moment in his life. I pray that every one of you have had this moment. This moment where your eyes have been opened for the very first time and you see that the Bible is true. Jesus is true. Salvation is true. And your sins matter no more. The life you lived thus far matters no more. He's chosen you and called you and renewed you and sealed you, and you are His forever. Your stumbling this past week cannot touch your forever. I hope you have felt that or are feeling that right now. What a moment. You may say, "I'm not worthy," and you'd be correct. No one's worthy. You may say, "I'm not good enough," and you would be correct. No one has ever been good enough. You may say that "I am too far gone," and you would be wrong. The Bible says, while we were sinners, while we were unworthy is what that means. And everyone was unworthy. While sinners, Christ died for us. This means He loved you enough to die for you, but while you were still living a life against Him. And He loves you enough to pull you into a life for Him. Too far gone is laughable while looking at someone like Saul become Paul. Have you chased people from their homes? Have you tortured people? Have you had people killed because their beliefs are different than yours? I expect that your answers to every one of those questions was no. But even if they were yes, it only puts you level to Saul, and Jesus came for him. He also came for you. He's here for you right now.
Amen.
There is no getting right first. There's only realizing who you are, a sinner, and what you need, a Savior, and then running to Jesus for salvation. That's it. Do this and old you no more. The old Saul does not exist after today, after these pages. Do this and your eternity in heaven is secure. Take a look at your life. You're not looking for perfection. That's not it. Look at Saul. What you're looking at is who you were and who you are now. Take a look. What do you see? A sinner saved is the only answer that offers what you seek, and it's only found in Jesus.
Amen.
Maybe you need to seek this answer today. We're going to close this morning by looking at what happens last in our passage. It's Saul being baptized, and it's him hanging out with disciples. Why does this matter? Well, this man's had a long 3 days, right? Blinded by God and basically kidnapped by God, only to be healed by God and saved by God and renewed by God. Now with God's Spirit within him and Jesus as his Savior and not his enemy, Saul starts his new life. How? He's baptized, which is a public sign of what's taken place in his life. Dead in his sins no more, washed clean by the blood of Jesus on the cross. Baptism did not save him, but it's the symbol of his salvation, and it's already taken place.
Amen.
It's also a signal to the Romans and the Jews. Don't forget about that. He just traded teams. If you follow baseball at all, it would be the well-known Cardinal, Yadier Molina, walking over to the Cubs. Saul went from leading their charge to standing against them. In our own lives, this means that sometimes salvation will cost us friendships,
amen,
relationships. When something this drastic happens in your life to pull you a certain way, in this case to Jesus and to eternal life, when this happens, the world will pull back, and it'll likely be by someone you love. In these moments, you need your church and your Christian family. Your need for them will be high, and you must lean into them. You just must. The world will pull hard. Look at Saul. He hangs out with disciples. Put that in context in your minds. Saul hanging out with disciples. I think about the bonfire. Long day, they're sitting around the bonfire, and these disciples are sitting there. They're only there because they were running for their lives, most of them. Some might have lived in the area. Most of them were on the run, which means they're running from Saul. The disciples in Damascus are there because of Saul, and now they are there for Saul. A bonfire for disciples, and Saul takes a seat. Think about that. Your church is this bonfire. It's where you are welcome always. Your church family are these disciples, and it's where you can find refuge always. Do you have a place like this? A place where Saul's can become Paul's and have a seat at the table. Cache Creek can be that place. No judgment here, just sinners saved by Jesus, gathering and worshiping and meeting needs and pushing the gospel into the world. If you need a church home, come pray about joining us. If you need to find the courage to reach out to that Saul in your life, come pray for that courage. Come pray for that relationship in your life that has you feeling like you've been treating Jesus poorly this week. If you are the Saul in your life and you have now met Jesus, Scripture says, repent and believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You will be on the run no more and welcomed home for eternity. Everyone in this place and online needs to be a little less like Saul and a little more like Paul.
Amen.
a little more like Jesus.
Pray for this today. And anything else on your heart as we sing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for our ability to be here. We thank you for the technology that lets others in to be here. And Father, I pray that we have heard your word today. Father, I pray that we see Saul and Paul, and this settles upon our heart today. Where in our lives are we being the Saul in our life? Where in our lives do we need to adjust and change to be more representative of our Savior? Father, I hope we leave this place today knowing that although no one was worthy, he came for us anyway. And knowing that no one is ever too far gone, including us this morning. Father, he came for everyone. If we would only believe. If we'd only turn away and toward our Savior. Father, there's no better example in our lives than what we just read this morning of what a transformation can be had. Saul threatening Christianity to Paul spreading the gospel everywhere. Father, help us be this in our own lives today. Help us see Jesus. Help us help others see Jesus, even today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.